Welcome to the Hot Lava Podcast, Kevin Acey, Jay Posner. I cover the Padres. Jay, well, he's a sports editor. He's got his hand in everything. He knows everything about everything. So, Jay, what's going on here? Padres, Angels, three games. You're going to go out to a couple of these, right? You're not going to get to see your guy Mike Trout.
Oh, don't remind me. I looked it up this morning because I didn't think the Angels had been here in a while. The Angels have played at Petco Park once. This is the 15th season at Petco Park, and the Angels, this is their second visit to Petco. The first one was in 2012 when Trout was a rookie, and, you know, we thought, yeah, this guy's pretty good. But this was going to be the chance to see the best player in baseball. Got tickets to a couple games. I've got, you know, I know some other people, Angels fans, our former boss, Doug Williams, very excited about coming, and then we got this. And then yesterday comes the news that Andrelton Simmons had been scratched with a sore knee. But from what I was reading this morning, it looks like Simmons is expected to play. And he's a tremendous player for people who don't see him much, and great defensively, having his best offensive season. He's actually second. He has a WAR of over 5, according to Baseball Reference, which is second on the Angels, only behind Trout. And then, you know, the other thing is, at the beginning of the year, we were hoping we'd see Shohei Ohtani pitching against the Padres. Now he'll be limited to pinch hitting because he can't play in the field and he can't pitch. So I don't think the Padres are going to go for a DH in this series so that the fans can watch Ohtani. But he's been outstanding. 868 OPS, 12 home runs. He's been really good. And, of course, Justin Upton will be back, that played for the Padres. He's got 24 home runs. So, I mean, the Angels, I think it's funny. They're kind of a weird team. They're sort of mediocre. They were doing well, and then they've fallen apart. And, their last 37 games, they're 18 and 19. And for the season, they're 59 and 60. I mean, I guess that's just what they are. They're just a .500 team.
It is what they are. And you know what they are, too? They're a cautionary tale. I was talking with some Angels fans last night, and man, did they sound like Padres fans. And I imagine Angels writers sometimes sound like Padres writers.
And you were one of those, weren't you, Kevin?
I was, a long time ago, before they won a World Series.
That's right.
A long time ago. But my point is that, like, this team is just perpetually underperforming with future Hall of Famers ushering in and out and the greatest player in the game on their team for the last 7 seasons.
Well, one of the reasons, I think, is because they signed a future Hall of Famer in Albert Pujols, which really messed them up. They overpaid him at the wrong time. And, you know, he's been okay, but he's still got a little bit of power, but he can't run. So he doesn't, I think his on-base percentage is below .290. I mean, it's just, you know, it's the kind of thing that we see on the Padres and say, oh, this guy's got to get better. If he's going to stick around. But the problem is, I don't know that Pujols, I mean, he's one of the greatest players ever. And so it's always,
but you knew when they signed that contract that these last years were just, I mean, barring a miracle,
right,
or him being able to get away with, some sort of enhancement, they were going to be a gigantic waste of money.
Yeah, of course, yeah, it was, but they were hoping to get more out of the first part of it, which didn't happen.
But the other hand here, the Padres are fun to watch all of a sudden.
No, they are, absolutely. I mean, yesterday, I think Freddie Galvis with a grand slam. I mean, you talk about coming out of nowhere with that. And, of course, another, at least one great defensive play. I will admit I didn't see the entire game. I had it on the second screen while I was watching the PGA yesterday, as most sports fans were in San Diego. But the Padres had another good weekend. I mean, you wouldn't have expected them to ever win a game where Walker Lockett starts against Aaron Nola. And they did lose that one, but they won on Friday and Sunday. And Joey Lucchesi must have pitched pretty well yesterday.
He pitched very well for a guy who pitched like crap. he was sailing pitches, which he doesn't normally do.
Right.
Just could not find his fastball. Zero curve, except for when he absolutely needed to have a strikeout. And then speaking of strikeouts, now here is what I find fascinating when you're covering a team every day, and you're covering a team which, you know, here pretty soon is going to have 4 rookies in its starting rotation of either 5 or 6 pitchers in,
right,
their starting rotation. 4 of them will be rookies. Joey Lucchesi yesterday in the, I believe it would be the 5th, because maybe it was the 6th, but Freddie Galvis' home run. It was the half inning after that. The Phillies are up, and Austin Hedges calls for a fastball basically down the middle to Carlos Santana. And Joey Lucchese gives him like a Joey Lucchese look, like, what the heck? But all these young pitchers trust Austin Hedges so much, he throws it. And I think this is probably one of the good defensive plays that you're mentioning. Travis Jankowski running down a ball in the gap, right? Two
right.
plays in a row, actually.
Right.
Ball in center, ball in the gap. And so well, this fastball gets crushed. And then, you know, hey, in Citizens Bank Park or many others, it's a home run, right? But no one's on. Lucchese's cruising through this inning, and Hedges wants to teach him, dude, we're up 5-0. You don't have to get a strikeout every time.
Right. No, that's
we've
perfect.
Got Travis Jankowski out there. So that's exactly what he said to him after the inning when Lucchese comes in and goes, man, what was that? I almost got taken deep. And he's all, so what if you would have been? It would have been 5-1, and we move on.
Right. Right. No, I mean, the biggest thing is avoiding big innings. And that was the one mistake they made yesterday was Spangenberg wasn't able to turn the double play and they wound up giving up 3 runs because of it. And, you know, they ended up adding on in the next inning. So everything was okay. But those are the things that when you have the big leads that you're right, just avoid, if you give up a solo home run, so what? It's better than walking a couple guys and then, you know, relying on somebody to make a play for you. And if they don't make a play, now you're in trouble. And by the way, it's so stupid that you can't assume a double play there and that those runs are all earned. That was a double play ball. So,
and there was another error and yet all 3 runs were earned. And I know the other error actually didn't contribute, but still it's like there's a 2 error inning and all 3 runs are unearned. And you're like, wait a minute, what the heck?
Right. Right. So,
yeah, then we have questions about things that are errors. I mean, I've seen some crazy things lately. It really depends what stadium you're at. I will tell you this, by the way, official scorers at Petco Park are among the best, if not the best in the league.
And that's really hard to believe for someone like me that sees so many games at Petco, that there are people. Although I did, there was, I don't even remember the game I was watching over the weekend, but there was a game like that where somebody didn't get charged with an error, and it was just like so obvious, and the announcers were like, how is that not an error? And I mean, it's just kind of one of these running jokes throughout baseball. But
I'm not saying, look, there are times where I'm like, wow, that official score did a really good job. Right. Something crazy happened. They had to make the ruling, or they come back and they correct themselves or something. But there's sometimes where there could be an identical play in back-to-back innings, and it depends on was it the home team or the visiting team on how it's ruled. I mean, it really is.
Right. These announcers were saying, oh, I'm sure they'll go back and look at that. And I was thinking to myself, no, they won't. They won't look at anything. But speaking of things that are stupid, can we go on a tangent here for a second? I guess we can, because it's our podcast and we can do what we want. But I read this story today, I mean, about David Bodie, the kid on the Cubs, who crushes a walk-off slam last night. The Cubs are down 3-0. It's the ninth inning. He's 2 strikes, right? The golden slam, which I had never heard of. But he crushes a ball. Not it wasn't Franmil Reyes crushed at Wrigley, but it was up there. It was over 420, I think. He goes, you know, he flips the bat. He runs around the bases like crazy. He jumps on home plate, and today he's apologizing for flipping the bat. And it's just, why is this still a thing? Why are baseball players not allowed to have fun? Why are they apologizing for having fun? And I tweeted about this a little while before we taped this that I'm glad, and I didn't hear about this, and I hope, and I don't know if you did, no one in Milwaukee said anything about what Renfro did the other day, right? Because he did the same, even a bigger bat flip, actually, than Bodie did. But that's what you're supposed to do. You just won a game with a grand slam. You know, putting the ball, just dropping your bat to the ground and not having any emotion is just, that's not what sports is about. Sports is about having a great time. He wasn't showing anybody up. He did something great, and he did this bat flip or whatever, and today he's apologizing for it. So
now, do you know what the impetus of the apology was? Because the answer about Milwaukee is no, I've not. At least I've not seen anything. And I do want to tell you about, I talked to the Padres after the Cubs, who was the pitcher that celebrated, and I think that they were being genuine when they, you know, explained to me how they didn't feel it was a problem. And that, you know, I was just talking to them about this kind of new generation. And
right, it was
completely different.
Pedro Strop
did the Tiger, you know, whatever. But the Padres are like, yeah, saw it, okay, yeah, I get that maybe some people would be upset, but, you know, man, it's a different game now. But what was the impetus? Did Joe Maddon get his panties in a bunch?
Well, it wouldn't have been Maddon, I don't think, because it was his team. So I think...
I'm sort of down. That was going to leave me another tangent on Joe Maddon. Nah, I tried it too hard, but go ahead.
Right. I don't know where it came from, but he was on the radio, and I don't know if one of his teammates, you know, said something about it, or if it did come from the other team. I'm looking this up as we speak here, but it just seemed like it was so crazy that he would do this. It says in the story here, it says it's unclear why Bodie felt the need to apologize. It says, seeing as how his bat flip wasn't over the top, and even if it was, it would have been hard to blame him.
But we're not young, and we do remember when that would have been cause for a pitch in the back the next day.
And that would have been. And by the way, that was dumb too when they did that kind of stuff. But
we all accepted it, like, right, okay, whatever, you know, whatever, and you talked about it, and you knew it was coming. That's just not what it is anymore. And actually, even those who are old and like old school, if you want your sport to survive, look, this is a part of it. And it's, if you embrace it, it's kind of fun, actually.
Right. And it seemed like that things were sort of turning around where it was being more and more accepted with that sort of thing. And to see that today, it was really too bad. And again, nobody seems to know why it happened. But I am glad to hear that there was nothing that came out of the Milwaukee situation. And of course the teams don't play again this year, so I guess we won't know until next spring when the Padres go to Maryville and all of a sudden Renfro gets one in the back, and you'll be like, wait a minute, oh yeah,
I don't think Craig counsels that guy,
right?
And I will save, because we've gotten off track, we've had a lot of fun doing it, I'll save my Joe Maddon rant for later. And I happen to like Joe Maddon, I've known him a long time, but it's like, geez. Anyway,
yeah.
All right.
Now, what about Will Myers? Let's talk about the Padres side of things. Will Myers will be at third base tonight. I can't wait to see this.
We talked about this a lot. We've established, and I think that it's roundly considered to be a good move. Will Myers getting a chance at third, not only is he probably capable of being serviceable there, maybe even good someday, now's the time to do it. It gives opportunity to other outfielders. There really is no downside for a last place team deciding that they need to find a place for one of their best bats to play.
No, I agree. I mean, the only downside is if Myers gets hurt, but he's gotten hurt playing where, you know, playing in the outfield too, although it usually seems like he gets hurt from batting. But anyway, I think it'll be interesting. I'm curious to see if the Angels, you know, drop a couple bunts, you know, his way. Let's see Albert Pujols bunt and see that race down the line between Myers coming in and Pujols going to first. But I do think that that is definitely one thing to watch tonight, is what happens with Will Myers at third. I think it's funny that last night he went all the way to San Bernardino and got what, like a ground ball and a pop-up or something?
Yeah, he was lamenting that. It's funny. Absolutely. But like, okay, so what if he'd gotten four routine grounders and played them all perfectly? I don't think that was going to matter much tonight.
Right. And I saw, you know, Jeff Sanders has a story today that he took a lot of fielding practice before the game and fielded most of them cleanly. Only one throw was really offline. So, you know, and if a throw is offline, you know, it's not like Christian Villanueva hasn't made some throws that have been offline this year or that anybody else is perfect in terms of making throws either. So I do think it's an interesting thing, and curious to see how often we see him at third base over these final, you know, 7 weeks or so, whatever's left in the season till we get to the end of September. And I think that's just another thing that, you know, along with watching guys like Lauer and Lucchesi, and look, Jacob Nix the other night, we overlooked that, a tremendous performance out of the gate against the Phillies, and looking forward to seeing his next start later this week as well. And even Brett Kennedy obviously deserves another shot here tomorrow night to see what to see if he can be better than he was last
week. And what he did, look, I'm not saying it's perpetual, this leash, but what he did in AAA and what they even thought of him before the year, he's got at least a few more starts they say that's a done deal.
Look what they've given Brian Mitchell.
13 and a half million reasons
why. But, you know,
I think you and I are both in support of that at this point.
Right. No, I think Kennedy should be in the – I mean, look, if he goes out and he continually gives up five runs in the first two innings every time, then maybe you have to reassess – right, then you have to reassess it. But he certainly deserves a couple more chances, which he'll get this week, although I don't know how – I haven't figured out yet what they're doing with this rotation and how many guys are going to pitch. And if a guy pitching – Kennedy pitching Tuesday, you would normally expect to see him Sunday.
Right. And I haven't done that math, so I don't want to say that for sure he would be pitching Sunday. But after that, the rest of this season, you know, there's 7 weeks to play 42 games.
Right.
There's a lot of off days the last 7 weeks of the season.
Yeah, I know.
I think they're going to be able to narrow it.
Yeah, there's that one road trip where there's like an off day between every series.
It's 11 nights and 8 games.
Yeah, right.
So, you know, we'll see Kennedy and then... and then Robbie Erlin again on Wednesday, and then that should bring Nix back on Thursday, assuming that because Eric Lauer is not quite ready yet, so we should.
And then I will virtually assure you that is a logistics thing. I mean, that if Eric Lauer, let's say that they really wanted to bring him back, my understanding is he's healthy, and so he'll be back probably for the next road trip.
Okay. So, but anyway, I mean, seeing. Back-to-back, Nix and Lucchesi, and those guys throwing will be interesting. Tonight, I mean, it's Clayton Richard, which there's not much you can say about that, although I did find it at least mildly interesting that the Angels are the one team that Richard has never faced. So at least he will check that off his bucket list in terms of facing every team.
It's almost a race to the finish here. You know, Clayton's got that year left on the contract and everything, but Clayton knows that he's pitching for his spot in the rotation. We'll say that.
Right.
I will talk to you later, Jay. This has been a blast. Let's do tangents more often.
Yeah, that sounds great. And we'll, I guess we'll do this again on Thursday, right? We got a 4-game series with the Diamondbacks coming for the weekend. And it's a big Trevor Hoffman weekend again this weekend with a statue being unveiled on Saturday, and looks like a couple good giveaways over the weekend. So we can preview all that on Thursday. And until that, enjoy a little interleague ball between the two Southern California teams.
Right on. Thank you.